All right, everybody. This is Nick here at First Baptist Church, Brookhaven. We're in episode 2 of what I called in episode 1, the FBC Brookhaven podcast. How creative is that, Miss Connie?
Original.
Yeah, very original. So look, I am here with three great people today. Joining us over here on mic number 1 is Miss Rachel Britt. Say hey, Rachel.
Hello.
Awesome. Over here on mic 2, the one and only, Connie Hodges.
Woo-hoo. Yes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good to see you. Y'all, we are in a set-up living room in the sanctuary. I've drug chairs from the parlor so we would be comfortable. It's nice. Yeah.
It is nice.
I'm on mic 3. And hey, just showed up. Mic 4. We've got Bill Soans Jr. Say hey, Bill.
Hello. Hello.
So on August 3rd, in our morning worship service, y'all know we hosted the FBC International Missions Celebration. And in that service, we just wanted the church to be aware of the 5 different foreign missions that we've already, you know, some of our church members have already gone on this year. And just wanted to hear from those missionaries. And of course, in a worship service, there's so many things that you have to do and cover. And we couldn't cover all of the details of the trip. So we thought we'd just record some extra content for y'all to listen to on your drive in from work or on your way for that last little, you know, get out of town, whatever. Well, actually, we're back in school. Yeah, we're back in school. Yeah, we pre-recorded this, by the way. So, but we wanted to just give some space and time to talk about maybe some of the things that we weren't able to cover in that service. So, Connie and Rachel, who y'all heard from on August 3rd, they were part of the first team to go to Ecuador this summer. Connie, what were those dates? Tell us again what dates y'all went.
We left on May 17th and returned on May 24th.
Okay. So if y'all recall in the first episode when we were talking to Bart, Will, and Haley, they were the second team. They went that Memorial Day weekend, really.
They left on the 24th.
Yeah.
And came back on the 30th.
Okay. So Rachel, how do you get to Casa de Fe in Ecuador? What is the route?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first you got to get to the airport.
Okay, which airport?
We went to the, I was fixing to say Atlanta. We went to the New Orleans airport.
Okay, so our bus.
Our church bus.
Okay, loaded y'all up.
Loaded us up at 9 o'clock a.m.
Okay.
On the dot.
All right.
With or without everybody in the bus.
That's funny.
And took off for New Orleans.
Now, was Daryl's y'all's driver?
Yes, Daryl.
Because I know Collins took the second group.
Yes.
So Daryl took y'all down there, mm-hmm. Dropped you off.
Dropped us off.
And then y'all flew out of New Orleans to where?
Houston.
Okay. Same route as the other team.
Yeah.
All right. So Houston, did y'all have a long layover?
No, no? We didn't.
Okay.
We didn't.
Straight from Houston.
To Quito. Yes.
Now, when you're coming into Quito, are y'all daytime or nighttime?
Nighttime.
Always.
So you can see the city lights and all that sort mm-hmm. of stuff. Yeah. Now, yeah. Bart and Will and Haley both said that they were just surprised how big Quito is.
It is huge. I was too. I mean, we rode forever and ever, and it's just lights and lights and lights. I didn't think we were ever going to get out of Quito.
Yeah, he was impressed by that. Yeah. Do you know the population of Quito? I don't, Bill, Google that for us. Give us the old Googler, man. All right, while we're kind of chatting up. All right, so from Quito, what next?
We got on a bus.
Okay, a big charter bus?
A big charter bus.
All right.
And went to Casa de Fe.
Now, how long is that bus ride, Connie?
5.5 hours. I'm sorry.
It's supposed to be 5 hours, but we have to stop a time or two.
Yeah.
Oh, so it gets extended by certain
breaks on the way.
Different needs, whatever. All right, so y'all are arriving really at Casa de Fe
at 6 a.m. in the morning.
In the wee hours of the morning.
Years in the past, there have been years that we would spend the night in Quito at a local hotel and drive down the next morning. And way in the past, we always flew in and got on the bus and drove straight down. So this year we decided to go back to that.
Okay.
Rather than go through the getting your luggage off the bus, getting into a hotel room, getting up, eating breakfast, getting back on the bus.
I see.
We just left from the airport on the bus and headed straight down.
Rest if you can. Huh?
Sleep if you can.
Yeah.
Quito, Ecuador, population 2.9
million. 2.9 million?
Wow. It looks kind of like a bowl when you fly in, and the city is inside the bowl, but it has now started to spill over the edges of the bowl. Oh. But it's enormous. Even when you're flying in, you see city lights for a long time.
Yeah. I had no idea that Quito was that large. Wow.
When we went years ago, the airport was very small and located in the center of Quito. And they expanded and built a nice modern airport, and it's a little farther away. So it didn't extend the drive necessarily. It was just on a different edge of the bowl.
Yeah. Wow. So you get to Quito. I'm sorry, you get to Casa de Fe, which means what? Let's see. Bill, let me test your Spanish knowledge real quick.
House of Faith.
The House of Faith. Now, it is truly a house of faith.
Absolutely.
You heard, you know, also in that service, if you listened to the first episode, you can just hear how God has had his hand on this ministry really from jump, from all the way, you know, from its origins. And Patty Sue Arnold is kind of, you know, she's the tip of the spear, and
local hero,
very, very much so. Patty came to First Baptist Brookhaven 30 years ago,
probably around 2005.
Okay, so about 20 years ago, went on a mission trip with our church, felt called to missions, went to Ecuador, found that was her home, and she started a ministry there. And I've been here 10 years, and I've seen it grow and grow and grow. So, all right, well, let's talk a little bit about what it is that you do when you get there. So Rachel, you're there. You get there at 6 a.m. You might get to rest a little bit. What is the a day in the life of a FBC missionary at Casa de Fe?
In my thoughts, it was fun from the moment you stepped on there.
You said it was fun.
It was fun. I had a ball. Uh-huh. I mean, everything I did, whether it was picking up rocks and shoveling rocks, pushing a wheelbarrow, whatever we did, I enjoyed every bit of it. The children, when the children came down, they came down the first day that we were there. Around 2 o'clock, I think, after we had gotten to nap and eat breakfast and lunch and everything. And from that moment on, it was just unbelievable. It was just.
Now, how was the day split? So if I remember Haley saying, like, y'all would work with the kids or get to be with the kids for maybe half a day, and then there were some rocks that had to be moved.
Right. In the morning, we did different shifts. There was like four groups of us. I think four or five, and we would either go to the preschool area, we would go to the to work outside, we would go to the
physical therapy
or the
baby room, yeah. Or we did crafts with the children. Yeah. We kind of divided and conquered.
And then pretty much so each afternoon after lunch, all of us did the rocks.
Okay.
We all worked in the garden.
A lot of times in the morning, you're hanging out with kids or relieving the tias.
Right.
You know, the tias are, that's a big part of the ministry, isn't it, Connie?
It is.
Yeah, tell us about that.
The children were still in school while we were there, so we had more time this year with preschoolers and the forever home children.
Okay.
We had more time with them. We kind of did some VBS type activities in the morning, some crafts and pushing them on swings, and They did physical therapy with some of the more handicapped children and rocked babies and pushed them in swings and played.
Loved on them.
Now, let's back up just to kind of zoom out just a little bit. The ministry itself is an orphanage.
It is a children's home. It is, some of the children there may be orphaned, but most of the children there have been in some type of abusive situation, have been removed from the home for one reason or the other. Some of the children are brought there because the family can't afford their medical needs or their educational needs. Some, yes, are orphaned. Some have been abandoned and their families aren't known. But it is a children's home.
And not all of the children there are special needs.
Not all of the children there are. It is one of the few places that will take special needs children.
And I think that was the start of it. I mean, it started out with a lot of special needs children.
It started out with a lot. Children in Ecuador aren't valued if there are special needs. In the jungle, they might even be thrown in the river, is what we were told when we went. An infant born with no productivity in sight, someone who's not going to be able to work, someone who's not going to be able to contribute to the community, was considered useless and not worth feeding. And the mothers would smuggle these babies out, or grandmothers would smuggle these babies out, and Casa de Fe was one of the places that would take these babies.
And this is a culture that literally, you know, they might leave a child like that on a church doorstep, at the bus stop, just somewhere where they think somebody might help them.
Correct.
And, you know, that's a thing to wake up to one morning. You wake up, you know, you go out on your stoop and there's a human being that needs help, you know. So
am I right to say there's like 50 to 80 kids or something?
It's closer to 50.
50. 50. Okay.
Yeah.
The Forever Home is new. It was one of the newest things. It was one of her goals all along, but this is a home for these children and now young adults who will never be adopted and who will never be able to survive on their own. And it was a blessing to be able to see that place open and the children living there, young adults living there.
So they have different facilities for those?
It is their home.
Okay.
And they're the only ones that live there.
Great.
And these young adults will live there forever.
And it seemed like the progress of the Forever Home happened quickly. It was in 2024, the pictures y'all brought back were just a shell.
A shell.
A shell of a dormitory, you know, isk building. And now they're living in it.
They are living in it. Yeah. There's three bedrooms there for the residents and one room for the Tias. They have their own living room, living space. They now have a beautiful back porch that has been landscaped all around it.
By all the rock movers.
The rock movers.
The rockers.
It was wonderful to see that happen.
Yeah, we were talking with the other team about just the joy that it must have been to those workers to see some hands help move the rocks, you know, where it may have taken them 2 months by themselves. And, you know, here you have all these people show up and willing to go.
And the joy of them seeing what we were doing, the landscaping and everything, the kids were just in awe of it. They thought it was so pretty.
Yeah.
And they kept commenting about how pretty everything was. So they loved what we were doing too.
Now, obviously, in a Sunday morning worship service, we've got, you know, just time constraints. Here in this format, we don't. And there may be just something that y'all want to share that we weren't able to get in on a Sunday morning. So tell us, Rachel, this is your first time to Casa de Fe? Is this your first time out of country?
No.
Okay. So had you ever been to this area of the world before?
Or? No. So, I've been on cruises and things like that with my family, but I've never been on a mission trip and never been to this area.
So tell us a little bit about the culture, just like the food, the climate. I mean, was it hard to acclimate? Did you have any challenges?
Was the climate.
Yeah.
Just that it, It rains every day. And Connie had told me that many, many times that it rains every day. But I think every day I said, it's raining again. And she said, we're in the jungle. Yeah. We're in the jungles of Ecuador. So,
now, what does Ecuador mean, Bill?
I have no idea.
It's got to mean equator. It's got to mean the country on the equator.
That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense.
I mean,
a softball and I missed it.
Yeah, it's okay. There's no edits in this podcast, by the way. Okay.
That's right.
So you're literally
in the rainforest.
On the equator in a rainforest.
That's
so
right.
The conditions are melting.
That's exactly. Yeah.
So you're probably like wanting some rain. But the other part is you're in a mountainous area.
The elevation.
So what's the elevation, Connie?
I would say it's in the 3,000 maybe.
Six.
When you land in Quito, you're probably at 9.
Okay.
The bus ride takes you, I think, up to 11.
Holy moly.
And then when you come down, you start coming down.
Yeah.
And you can tell when you enter the jungle part. You go through these 5 tunnels along the way, and through the very last tunnel, the vegetation even changes.
Yeah, the top of that mountain at that elevation is going to be desert. You know, it's not a lot.
It's different, but the weather in Shell to me is better than Mississippi in May, June, and July. It's not as hot. It gets cool at night.
Yes.
It's the elevation.
Yeah. You are closer to the sun, so if you're prone to burn, you might burn, but not if it's raining on you.
I understand. Yeah.
A question I had was, if you think about the what kind of on-site versus off-site schooling do the kids go? How does that work? Is there a partnership with the government that works good or bad, or how would you describe that?
Preschool is at Casa de Fe. They start school there at 4, not at 5. So they do a preschool program. The teacher is awesome, unbelievably awesome. Hmm. Because we would take crafts in, and she could see what we brought, and she could make a lesson out of it. And she had not seen it before. And she always, I thought it was great, she would always show them, okay, with this craft, this is what you don't do. You know, you don't poke your friends, and you don't put it in your mouth. You don't hit them on the head. And then she would show them what you did.
Okay.
But I always thought that was great that she would say what you don't do, because that would have never occurred to me. But the older children walk to school, and it's right there in town. It probably takes them less than 5 or 10 minutes to get to school.
Now, are these are government schools?
These are their local school systems.
Okay.
They wear school uniforms. As you age to different, the uniform changes a little bit.
Okay.
But when they all go to school, they're neat as a pin, cute as they can be, dressed in their uniforms.
With all the special needs, are there like hospitals and medical partnerships or anything that helps with that? Is it
most of the special needs children go to school. There is a special needs school, which was why they had to buy that van so they could transport them to their special school. Some of the younger, more special needs did not go to school, but some of those in the Forever Home, one of the girls, Misha, graduated this year from school, and she's a special needs, and I would say she's probably 20, but they do go to school as well.
Now, Haley was in the first episode was talking. She's a nurse, and she was able to help do some therapy with some of the kids on her trip. She mentioned that there's a therapist, a physical therapist, that they employ to come on campus and help with some of the mobility issues of some of the special needs.
5 days a week.
5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Her name is Emily, and she's amazing.
So there are, I think, Bill, some established partnerships, for some of the medical things that are needed there.
There's a local hospital, a small local hospital, because one of our workers got sick and had to go to the hospital. So there is medical care close. For serious things, I believe they take them farther away. But there is a local one that would be.
Yeah. Awesome. So we've kind of understand a little bit more about the work, and Were there any other kind of cultural things, Rachel, that just you experienced? Was the food?
The food was great.
No problem.
I didn't have any problems with the food. I thought everything was very good. Yeah. I wish that I had learned Spanish before I went.
Oh, okay.
Because I know no Spanish.
Talk about that.
And that was a barrier. Hmm. I just had a problem communicating with the Tias and understanding the children. So, but I had a special little boy. He called me Ray Ray. So that was, was sweet. But other than that, that's about all I could do was, just do him little hearts and show him I loved him and all that kind of stuff. But I would, before I go back next year, which I will go back next year, I will know a little
work
bit
on
of
some
Spanish.
Yeah. It's such an important, I encouraged my kids when they're going through high school, it's like, take Spanish. It's likely to be the most useful second language that, as an American that you could have. And, so that's a great insight. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, is there anything else y'all want to share as we're, go ahead, Connie. Connie gave me the big nod here. Y'all can't see it on the podcast, but she just.
We this year had two different groups that went. And we took a total of 38 people with us to Casa de Fe.
That's amazing.
In this group, we had grandparents that took their grandchild. Mm-hmm. We had husbands and wife teams. We had siblings. We had parents with their children, single young adults. So I just wanted people to know that teenagers can go with their family members, and even a senior adult can go and be useful.
Mm-hmm.
And the husband and wife team, y'all heard on the first episode, Haley and Will, and it was really neat to watch them look at each other as they were talking through the mission trip. You could tell that not only did it change them personally, it changed them as a married couple. Like it was, and that's we're advocating that. We want to see
families
go. We want to see that grandparent, grandchild, and father, son go and experience missions. And this is a pretty turnkey, really, operation, the way that Connie's built it over the years. Everything's there. They have all the things that you need to go to a foreign country and do missions. And the biggest is the need.
The only other thing I think I want to add is that our first trip to Casa de Fe was in 2008. And to the best of my knowledge, we've taken 139 people over those years. 139 different people.
Different people.
A lot of people have been multiple times.
Sure.
But at least 138 different people have gone.
If you were to give an advertisement to somebody who was thinking about going or just on any mission trip, what are some things that, you come home and you notice that it's changed you and how you see opportunities around you, how you see your life in the U.S.? What are some things kind of that you would think about as just spiritually speaking? What are some benefits of going on a trip like that somebody else would likely get?
I know with me, I have not had a piece about me for about the last 12 years since my mother passed away. And I've just struggled with a lot since she passed away. And I have never had the peace that I now have since I went to Casa de Fe.
That's awesome.
And it's hard to explain. And it's a God thing. It's nothing but a God thing. But when I got there, I told Connie, when I got there, I said, this place is, it's just something about it. I was at peace. I was tired every day, but I wasn't tired. And I just had this peace. And when I came home, I still have that same peace that when I left there. And it's just.
Tell them why you decided to go this year.
I decided to go this year. I've wanted to go for the past 10 years. And Connie has talked to me, and I'm going to go. And every year I've made up excuses for why I couldn't go. And you know, the money wasn't right, the job or whatever. And my daddy has wanted me to go for 10 years. And he kept pushing me and kept pushing me. And y'all both know me, so you both know that my daddy was my world. My daddy was my hero. He was, you know, he was just everything to me. And my daddy, I found out once I got there that the reason why for 10 years that I had not wanted to go to Casa de Fe was because if I had gone and not been with my daddy, the whole time while I was at Casa de Fe, I would have been thinking about my daddy and wondering how daddy was doing. And I would not have received the blessing that God had in store for me. And the timing just wasn't right. And last year it wasn't right because I had just lost my daddy.
Yeah.
But this year it was right. And I just felt this peace. And I think that's why I felt the peace, because I was where I knew daddy wanted me to go all these years. Because I've worked with this in this field for 32 years. So I just felt this peace. I mean, it's just hard to explain. And I
want to drill down on it just a little bit, if y'all will let me, that there's something to the purpose, you know, of our life, and it, that when we explore that, you know, we have purposes, and that Great Commission is a purpose that God has given us to go ye therefore and to preach, teach, and make disciples of all nations. And in the most unique way, that's what we get to do when we go to a place like Casa de Fe, if it's affecting a tia or a worker or a child or, you know, a bus driver as we're going there. There's something that's peaceful about finding, once again, our purpose in serving God in that way. And I think, Bill, maybe that's kind of what you're just like, that's one of the best advertisements of, yeah, you can go and see all these cool things, or, you know.
Yeah, you know, you think about, you know, Jesus said multiple times, my food is to do the will of my Father. When you're doing the will of your Father and you're in His will and where He wants you to be, and that's part of the benefit, too, is you kind of come home and you carry that same out mindset into all the situations that you go into. But it gives you this energy, even though you're tired, even though your body doesn't want to do things, you do it because of the fulfillment you get. And the satisfaction of being in God's will is just such an amazing thing.
Sure. Awesome. And I've done mission trips with every other church that I've served except this one. I've not done the Fort Connie. I see that. I see you over there. Y'all can't see it on the podcast, but she's
She's rolling her eyes.
But one of the things I remember is when I would come back from a foreign mission trip, I always was looking for, okay, I'm not waiting until I go back to Lima, Peru to do missions, because that might be next year or 2 years from now. What can I do right here in the meantime? How can I serve the kingdom of God in Brookhaven, Mississippi, in Lincoln County, Mississippi, something I can travel to in a day, you know, or go. So I was always, that always helped me to go and come back and, okay, I'm supposed to be on mission.
It's a spark.
It is a spark. It's a spark. That's a great way to put
That's
it.
That's exactly.
Because so, there are limitations, or in your mind, you have limitations. I mean, I'm not a teacher. I'm not a preacher. But I can pick up a rock and I can move it. And if somebody there says, why would these people come all the way here just to pick up rocks and move them? It must be because God told them to.
Well, another thing.
And it must be because God wants them here. And so if I'm not doing anything but moving a rock or holding a baby or rocking a baby or holding somebody's hand while we walk because they're unsteady, and the workers there are noticing, why did y'all come? Why do they come every year? Why do these people come back? And they know we come back because we feel like God is calling us to come, and because God wants us to help, and we can do a little to help.
Well, and another thing that happens in foreign missions is you don't have the opportunity to be distracted by the cares of your of your life in the States. When you go there, you're all in. That's what you're there to do. If you do local missions only, there's going to be something that pulls you away from that at some point. So we're a church that certainly advocates taking a trip. Well, thank y'all so much for participating in this episode. I hope it benefits, the listener to just hear, the hearts, the stories, things that we just couldn't cover that Sunday morning in worship service. So thank y'all so much. And with that, we'll sign off. Say bye.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Thanks again. Guys.